Hey there, and welcome to the Analytics Neat podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bruno. Analytics Neat is a weekly podcast that debuts on Mondays, exploring all things media, marketing, and analytics. It's available for subscription on both iTunes and Google Play, but will always be available first on BillBruno.com. I'd also urge you to continue the conversation with me directly, either through BillBruno.com or via Twitter, at BillBruno, using the hashtag AnalyticsNeat.
So let's jump right into episode 15. And first and foremost, I hope everyone had a fun and safe holiday weekend here in the U.S. For this week, I thought we would cover off on a few of the key happenings from this past week, namely Accenture Interactive being in the news, Adobe being in the news as well, and then some updates from GDPR week and the launch of the EU legislation. Let's kick things off with Accenture. Accenture Interactive, the digital arm of that consultancy, formally jumped into the ad buying world as first reported by the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal reported that the company is rolling out a programmatic services practice, which will also incorporate the planning, buying, and management of programmatic ad campaigns. This is a big move for Accenture, and one that came with a lot of responses from around the world, not just from my own organization in Ubiquity, but from some of our competitors and some of the media agencies around the world as well. Why has this generated such a response? It all comes down to a conflict of interest and the positioning now that Accenture has put themselves in. Accenture has a media management division that does not only media auditing, but also gets involved in pitches and consulting clients on things such as in-housing, programmatic, and other media buying strategies. And the fact that they are now in the ad buying world and actually placing those ads, it generates an inherent conflict of interest because of what that media management division has access to. And it also brings them into the space as an alternative to the traditional media agencies as well. Ultimately, this conflict of interest really comes down to not just the data access pieces, but just the loaded recommendations and what might be driving those recommendations. And I think it's safe to say that conflict of interest in general is becoming a problem in our industry, particularly when it comes to technical recommendations, strategic guidance, and things of that nature. As a business, you have to ensure that you know what is driving the recommendations that are being made or given to you, and whether or not those recommendations are truly based on what's best for your business and not what's lining someone else's pockets, either through a partnership or because that business is also involved in other things that you're benefiting from, as in the case of Accenture. You know, if they're making recommendations around how you should be approaching programmatic, and those recommendations happen to line up with their business initiatives and the new launch that they've brought in with Accenture Interactive, then you have to scratch your head a bit and ask the question of whether or not this really is best for business or just because it's best for Accenture. Accenture's been an agency for a while, but with this launch of the programmatic division, they really put a cherry on top that sundae and make it clear to the world that they're entering as an alternative to the traditional media agency. And on the agency front, the topic of in-housing is one that has been a very big discussion lately as well, and it's something that we'll definitely cover as a standalone episode of Analytics Neat in the near future. However, the point that I'll make today is that in-housing programmatic can take many forms. There's many different blocks in the machine that you can bring in-house versus leveraging a partner. And most organizations don't realize just how much skill and effort is required should you decide to in-house the entire thing soup to nuts. Enough about Accenture. Let's jump into Adobe and the waves that they made last week as well. Adobe announced that they acquired Magento Commerce for $1.68 billion for commerce capabilities and the developer ecosystem. For those of you unfamiliar with Magento, they're one of the powerhouses in the e-commerce space for their e-commerce platform, not just because of how customizable and agile it is, but also because of just the sheer depth of clients. Based on the Internet Retailer Top 1000 list, they power twice as many top retailers as any other e-commerce provider in the space. So Adobe is acquiring not only a market leader, but also a seasoned platform with a very strong client base. And across those client bases, Magento has proven success not just in the B2C sector, but B2B as well. And that's a key point. I mean, Magento is a 10-plus-year-old company with a giant install base, and they have some of the most challenging enterprise clients when you look at their list. And the reasons behind Adobe making this acquisition are pretty obvious from my perspective. It sort of completes the puzzle, so to speak, for Adobe and brings in this e-commerce powerhouse that can be linked up directly with the Adobe Experience Manager, or AEM, platform as part of the Adobe Experience Cloud, the content management system that Adobe offers to their clients. And it brings it full circle even more so, because ultimately this comes down to customer experience. And I feel like on this podcast, I've said customer experience so many times in the first 15 episodes. But yet again, this is Adobe's focus. They're trying to bring in not just the clients that are coming in from Magento, but now they're trying to offer a more connected experience for commerce and clients that are heavily involved in commerce, which can then be linked to the analytics as well as Adobe Target to really complete that circle and bring a high level of personalization to the platform for clients that are either already on Magento or for Adobe customers that might be thinking about making a move to a stronger e-commerce platform or one that's more heavily integrated should they be an Adobe platform customer already. But we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the one thing that also comes into play when it comes to acquisitions, and that's the people. Because Adobe is also inheriting this massive open source platform that has a very solid, innovative team there. So as a result, there's also potential here in bringing top talent into an already strong team at Adobe to start innovating how to bring these two platforms together for clients that are on either side, not to mention the clients that might already be using both an Adobe and a Magento platform. So let's jump into our last topic for today's episode, because the EU is nice enough to drop their GDPR legislation just ahead of a holiday weekend. And I think it's safe to say that Facebook and Google were unfortunately not able to get some much needed R&R and probably weren't able to enjoy many of the barbecues that the rest of us were able to enjoy. Because while the rest of us were just getting updated privacy policy emails, and seriously, how many of those did you get? Google and Facebook received lawsuits instead. According to The Verge, Facebook and Google have both been hit with a raft of lawsuits accusing the companies of coercing users into sharing personal data. The lawsuits reach a total of about $8.8 billion, and they were filed by an Australian privacy activist and lawyer, Max Schrems, who's been a longtime critic of the company's data collection policies. When you pick apart the lawsuits themselves, it's broken up into specific products. One was filed against Facebook, and two others against Instagram and WhatsApp, two subsidiaries of Facebook. The fourth suit was filed against Google's Android operating system. So what does this mean? I'm pretty sure that everyone expected that Google and Facebook would be hit with the first alleged violations. And it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because the implications on the marketplace from this point forward could be changed based on anything that happens here. And this guy, Max, has been really just chomping at the bit, waiting for this. He's probably been sitting at home just waiting to file these lawsuits, counting down the minutes. He might have even had a countdown clock in his living room as we edged ever closer to May 25th. And the minute midnight hit, he probably pushed a button and sent those things off. I think what's interesting, though, is that Amazon hasn't been hit with anything yet. And I think given some of the things that we've covered on the podcast in previous episodes in the archives, it's safe to say that Amazon has just as much in the game here from a data perspective as anyone else. This can even be extended to platforms like Netflix and other platforms that have built personalized experiences based on the data that they're capturing to try to deliver the right content to the right people at the right time. But despite all the hoopla, I do think that some good will come from GDPR and that there will likely be similar legislation developed around the world as well. It's just difficult to see the good that's going to come from this in the short term, because inevitably it's going to be a mess for a while. There are going to be a lot of lawsuits. Some of those lawsuits might be well-founded, others might just be a publicity play because you wanted to be the first out of the gate. And I think that's going to be the thing that everyone's going to have to sift through here as you decide how you're choosing to respond and what adjustments you might make as an organization. Because we're even seeing in the news that some US websites, as an example, are simply turning themselves off for anyone that might be coming from the EU. And I don't think that's really the outcome that's desired from this legislation. So over time, there will be adjustments and organizations will start to come around to this concept, but no one wanted to be the first out of the gate. And you want to watch what happens to others who have lawsuits filed against them so that you can adapt and adjust your approach in the marketplace for your consumers as well. However, with a stronger focus on data, the control of that data, the privacy for the consumers, and the ownership of that information, there will inevitably be a positive outcome on the horizon for those who do comply and who evolve their practices around the data that they capture. You know, brands should be more concerned with the data that they collect, why they collect it, who they quote-unquote rent it to, and how it is used both internally and externally. And frankly, things have run a bit rampant pre-GDPR, and the launch of GDPR caused a lot of organizations to look inside themselves and say, you know, what should we be doing? Why are we collecting this information? And what information do we absolutely need to achieve whatever objectives or goals we have for the business? So let's hang in there for what will ultimately be a wild ride for now and focus on what we can control and keep an eye on things. And I'll try to bring some of those updates in future episodes here of Analytics Need as well to keep everyone abreast of the situation so that you can continue to be informed on the latest and greatest as it pertains to GDPR. And with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this week's episode. I do really appreciate you listening. I hope you found this useful. And please, again, continue the conversation with me directly on Twitter via @BillBruno using the hashtag AnalyticsNeat, or feel free to reach out directly via BillBruno.com as well. I've been receiving several questions and topics for future episodes, and so I'm going to start to weave some of those in and probably do a mailbag of sorts as well in the upcoming weeks. So please, if you do have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.